Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The Expert Speaks on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Life in the 21st Century. Our guest today is Christopher Hall from, you better tell me the name of the organisation.
Well, Jeff, I'm from the Australian Centre for Grief and Bereavement. We're based in Melbourne, but we operate a national training program. We provide a specialist bereavement counselling and support service, as well as undertake research and training and other pieces of work.
So, Christopher, what does grief and bereavement mean for older Australians today?
Well, I think grief and bereavement are often misunderstood terms for Australians in general. So let's perhaps talk by what we actually mean by the terms grief and bereavement. So really, grief is our response to loss. It's the inevitable, unavoidable consequence of forming a connection or a bond or a relationship and then losing that. Historically, grief has been thought as an emotional response to loss, but we know now that it's much bigger than that. Certainly, the experience of grief, our response to loss, brings with it a range of feelings. We know that it affects our bodies, it depresses our immune system, we're more likely to suffer from a range of physical complaints. It is true that people do die of broken hearts. When we look at people who have experienced profound loss, there's an increased rate of cardiac events. It affects the way people think. Some people feel like they're going crazy in terms of trying to make sense of what's happened. It affects their behaviour. People talk about feeling either having no energy or a kind of an overactivity. I think also that grief is an experience that's an interpersonal one. It's not just something that happens in the head and heart of a single person. We grieve in community. So we grieve with other people, either in a family or an aged care facility, and even more broadly within a culture. And the culture and organisations and families have feeling and grieving rules as to how people are expected to behave and respond. And I think the final piece of grief, and perhaps the dimension that's talked about least, is that it also has a spiritual or a philosophical dimension. That for many people, these are experiences of loss that raise big questions of meaning. They may be spiritual or religious ones. How do I reconcile this experience with my beliefs, or where is the person I love now? Or more broader philosophical questions around making sense of. Fundamentally, grief is our response to loss, and bereavement is a particular form of loss, and that's really that rupture of a relationship between two people that have a connection or an attachment. Proceeding on in terms of what does it mean for older Australians, well, I think in many ways, the experience of loss is really scattered throughout the landscape of older Australians. We know that by the age of 65 years, over half of all women and over 10% of all men have been widowed at least once. And by the age of 85 years, over 80% of all women and over 40% of all men are widowed. And so the experience of death and death-related loss is a very common feature of the lives of older people. But I think it's also important to remember that death is only one form of loss. And so whether we're talking about loss of mobility, a loss of a sense of privacy, whether we're talking about people who are relocating from one place to another, then I think in many ways, grief is very much a part, and often I think an unrecognised part of the lives of many older Australians.
And what issues and difficulties do older Australians face as they encounter grief and loss?
It's important to recognise that people are incredibly resilient, and that people can have significant sort of seismic losses in their lives and respond with great strength and capacity. And that, I think, is the truth for most people. Most people deal with a whole range of difficult life experiences and losses, and with the support of family and friends and their own resources, manage that quite well. But I think there are many features of loss for older Australians. We often see a broken social connections. So again, people may move from their community into an aged care facility. There might be new relationships or connections. They may, because of illness, move away from a faith community. So there is often a rupturing or a breaking of the social connections that people have. I think for many people, there can be also the experience of a loss of dignity, the loss of a sense of privacy. I reflect on my mother's experience. She was 90. She died late last year and was very reluctant to make a move in her late 80s into an aged care facility. But for her, one of the things was that was really important was the food and the sense of having meals at a prescribed time. And she would reflect on the fact that she could feel herself becoming kind of institutionalized. So the loss of control, the loss of choice that often comes with receiving care. I think for many people, they're also dealing with deteriorating health and loss of mobility. Often their peer group are dying, and so they're dealing with a kind of a bereavement overload. Again, my mother had a large collection of orders of service of funerals that she'd been to, and had made the comment that, you know, it won't be too long and that she'd be joining that bunch of orders of service. Again, with that loss of a peer group, many of the people that might be available to support us in our bereavement aren't available to us. What comes from that deterioration of health and declining health sometimes is a sense of isolation as well. So in many ways, older Australians face lots of issues and difficulties. I think it's also important to remember that they're also experiencing all the other sorts of losses that other family members are. We know, for example, that older people, particularly the needs of grandparents following the death of a child, are often overlooked. There are many difficulties that they may be dealing. Again, talking with people who, for example, have had to give their pet away because there wasn't a capacity for that pet to go with them into a care facility, or the pet was getting under their feet, for example, and they were having more falls. So, again, I think there are many losses, and I think sometimes we get focused on the death-related losses, but there, in a sense, there are these little deaths, there are these other losses that can profoundly affect people's sense of well-being.
I'd like to pick up on something that you mentioned a little earlier. There is a spiritual and a philosophical dimension to all this. Do you suppose that means that grief and loss can be experiences that can even enrich your life as you age?
I have no doubt that that's, and in fact, that's what we see in the research, that in fact, we often see grief as this kind of noxious thing that inevitably damages us. And again, that's not reflected by our understanding of the grief experience. Just to go back to the philosophical and meaning-making piece, we know that those who struggle the most following a loss are those who are struggling to find or to make some meaning or to find some sense in this experience. So again, it's when we have an experience that in effect we have no way of making sense of, that these are particularly challenging experiences of loss. We do know that one of the things that the experience of loss does, it changes people's identities. It changes the way that they see themselves. Now, most commonly, people see themselves as stronger. If I can manage this experience of loss, I can manage anything that might be coming down the tunnel. People often recognize and see themselves as being more sensitive, more courageous. Many people talk about how they value their relationships more strongly. And I think we often see this with older people where there's a desire to communicate to others about the importance of relationships. Now, of course, this is not universal. Nothing is. That for some people, the experience of loss makes them feel sadder. It makes me feel more fearful about the future. There are certainly experiences of loss that can enrich an individual's life as they age. We know that, for example, the sharing of stories, of reminiscence. One of the things I was very fortunate to do was to spend some hours with a video camera and my mother and her telling stories about her early life. She recalled with great clarity when she was 18, when her older brother died, of telling that news to her siblings. And although this was an experience that had happened some 65 years ago, it was still very fresh and very raw. And so I think one of the things in older age is people often reminisce about their lives. They can certainly be put in touch with their past losses that they can resurface. But the ability to reminisce, to share stories, to create a story that makes sense is often very important.
So we may not ever fully recover. We are changed, but we're not necessarily irretrievably damaged by the experience.
That's right. I'm not a big fan of the word of kind of recovery or closure, because I think our experiences of loss we carry with us throughout our life. We don't ever put them in a box and say that's done and dusted. Our relationship to what we have lost changes. And so we'll often find in adulthood and older adulthood that people will often rework those experiences of loss. They'll make sense of them anew. Yeah, I really don't believe that we find closure, or even that the goal of our work is about getting people to say goodbye or to let go. Death ends a life, it doesn't end a relationship. And so most people maintain an ongoing connection beyond the death of the other. They're still part of their head and their heart. Sometimes people are surprised when these other experiences of loss kind of revisit as the older person reflects on them anew. I think in many ways a bereaved parent never ever gets to a point of not being a bereaved parent. The experience changes. The rawness of it might change, but I think it's unrealistic to expect that people get over experiences of loss.
So what can older Australians do if they're struggling with grief and bereavement?
I think sometimes as human beings we're our worst critics and often we'll say, look, I should be doing better than this, or, you know, I shouldn't be upset by this. And I think it's really important to acknowledge that grief is a normal, inevitable and unavoidable aspect of our life. I often see grief and love as the opposite sides of the same coin. We can't have love without a sense of loss. In our own life, we will lose everything that we value over time. And of course, with our own death, everything. And so, whereas we often talk about love, I'm not sure that our conversations about loss happen nearly as often. So I think it's important that we acknowledge that grief is a part of being human, a part of being alive. It's not an illness. It's really a testament of our relationship. And I think what many people want to do is to be able to share that experience and to, by often talking about it out loud, help them make sense of it. And so I think it's important that we, both as older Australians and also as carers, acknowledge that grief is really a part of being alive. I think it's also important to take a long-term perspective. We often think that people readily get over an experience of loss in days or weeks. We live in a culture where the support we get from our society following the death of somebody starts to taper off 3 to 4 days after the death. And that grief is not something like the flu, where you have this rough patch and then life returns to normal, that we can revisit losses over a long period of time. I think it's also important to recognise that we need to take care of ourselves, that grief is a stressful experience. And so it's important, and I think sometimes we forget that we need to take care of our physical health. We know that poor sleep is often a marker of people who are struggling with experiences of grief or loss. So ensuring that we get good sleep, that we attend to good nutrition, that we have a conversation with a healthcare provider, and we let other people know about our experience of loss. In fact, we're often grieving with other people. And so it might be that if we're experiencing the death of a family member, that it may be that other family members may not be particularly available to us. Again, to acknowledge that it's a normal consequence of grief, that it does have an impact on our physical health, our well-being. To reach out for support if people are feeling troubled by the experience of loss. And I think also to acknowledge, just as we have different personalities, people have different styles of grieving. Some people are very private about their loss. They may be very reluctant to talk about what's happening for them. There may be others who are very, very willing to share their experience of loss. We know some people are much more focused on their emotional response to loss, whereas others take a more practical response to loss. So it's important to acknowledge that people have very idiosyncratic ways of dealing with their loss. But I love the old Yiddish expression that God gave us two ears and one mouth and we should use them in those proportions. That it's important that we actually create a space and an opportunity for people to talk about their experience of loss. That we can't give people what they want. We can't give them back that person or that thing that they have lost. But what we can do is to give them the gift of listening. And often as people talk about their experience, they'll find a place within their heart, within their mind, for that experience of loss. Even though these experiences of loss are really choiceless, we don't get choices about whether or not we experience loss. The way we respond to them is, in fact, rich in choice. People will often write about their experience of loss. They'll often listen to music that might evoke particular feelings. They might go to a place that evokes a connection. Or they may read the stories of other people. You know, I think it's often about finding what's the most comfortable way for an individual to engage with that struggle, with grief and loss.
And can you tell me, does your organisation offer anything for individuals who might be having problems with dealing with their own grief and bereavement?
Yes, so we provide bereavement counselling support. We do that both face-to-face from our offices here in Melbourne, but we also do that via telehealth. So if somebody has an iPad or an iPhone, then we can provide bereavement counselling via that means as well. We also have lots of information on our website, fact sheets in terms of how to take care of yourselves or other people, how to support grieving children or adolescents. And perhaps the easiest way to access that would be through our website, which is www.grief.org.au.
Christopher Hall from the Australian Centre for Grief and Bereavement, thank you for joining us today on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Life in the 21st Century.
It's been a pleasure, Jeff. Thank you for the invitation.